Call to order a special meeting of Newcastle County Council.
Point of order, the delay is to note that we are now being filmed.
Duly noted. Call to order a special meeting of Newcastle County Council. Budget address from County Executive Thomas Gordon. Shall we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Bullock?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Retta?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I'm going to ask President Pro Tem Penrose Hollins, Co-Chair Jay Street of Public Safety, if they would escort our County Executive into the chambers. You may be seated before the County Exec addresses the chamber tonight. I'd like to recognize several dignitaries who are here with us. State Representative Potter, Senator Margaret Rose Henry, Mayor Williams, City of Wilmington, City Council President Theo Gregory, City Council Member Mike Brown, Register of Wills, Cyril Poppity, Sheriff Trini Navarro, Recorder of Deeds, Mike Kalikowski. If there are any other elected officials I missed, please stand. Ken Bolden, stand up right here. Welcome, Mr. County Exec.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, my job, Mr. President, is to get through a 12-page speech so you can start your council meeting at 6:30.
Yes, exactly.
Usually I had an hour. I get done in 45 minutes, everybody comes upstairs. So we're under a tight time frame tonight. But I do want to mention Ken Bolden has been sick lately. Ken, you want to stand up? Thank you for coming tonight. Ken's had some serious health problems. The thing I've noticed when I used to do this early on, I was 44 years old. At 61, I have to try very hard to read this teleprompter, and I found today it was much harder than normal. Last year, you know, I did a speech and never mentioned a budget. So this year, I'm going to follow the script, and there are actually numbers in the budget tonight. So, such out, Mr. President, members of County Council. I'm going to mention our recorder, Dave Mike Kazakowski, and I appreciate, Mr. President, you mentioned the elected officials here. Ken Bolden, Sheriff of Nevada, Trinidad, Nevada, Mayor Dennis Williams. Since it's already on here, I'm going to read it again. President Theo Gregory and other elected officials. Charles Potter, our representative. Fellow county employees, good evening. I also want to recognize, I have a lot of staff here, so I'm just going to recognize three. I'm going to recognize our Chief of CAO, David Grimaldi. Chief of Staff, Jim McDonald, and our county attorney, Bernard Pepegai. I also have with me tonight my kids that don't normally come to these. When you've been in the public sector as much as I do, it's very hard to get them out. And I have Jennifer, Michael, Danny, and my wife, Susan. So I'm already behind schedule, Mr. President. Members of our fine Newcastle County, thanks for the privilege of delivering my 2015 annual speech. While prepared to address this esteemed council, we were struck with the curious sense of history and destiny unfolding before us in many ways. It seems that only a short time ago, a friend of mine was a bright, articulate University of Delaware graduate, took his seat in County Council in 1970. If you fast forward to today, that young man, Joe Biden, continues to serve us as Vice President of the United States. And I am sure that we can all agree that it was this hard learned lesson on County Council that enabled this County Councilman Biden to grow into a national leader. And then, if we hearken back to 17 years ago, I stood on this very night, March 25th, 1997. I stood for the first time in these very chambers, just 2 months after taking my first administration, to address the then seven members of council, two of which are still here. We were all brimming with optimism and enthusiasm as we set forth to reinvent county government, to make it more streamlined, economical, and efficient. I know that we can all agree that the hard-learned lessons we were facing with a $100 million deficit loomed back that enabled us to reaffirm our duties to govern prudently. With enthusiasm, we are now redoubling, experiencing balancing optimism. I look forward to working with the potential vice presidents who have been elected to the same seats of County Council. Have to wait for this thing. We will continue to work hard and certainly to engage in lively debates, which are the hallmark of a vibrant democracy. While we many times disagree, my feelings are echoed in the words of Thomas Jefferson. I've never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, or in philosophy as a cause for withdrawing from a friend. And I hope you all remember that this year. Members of Council, when I stood before you last year for the 2014 budget address, we presented a plan to draw modestly from the county reserve to balance our budget. We were not happy with that financial approach, and so we were committed to balancing the budget by running a lean government. Tonight, I am happy to report to County Council that we have entered the final quarter of 2014 fiscal year. We have erased the $2 million deficit and, in fact, we're in a position to close the books with an $8 million surplus.
Thank you.
A financial turnaround that represents a $10 million swing. While we are proud of this surplus, I'm sure Mr. Smiley will tell you, we must not overcommit these funds until we see a long-term recovery. The prudent thing is to prepare our balance sheet so that if the economy should stall again, we can maintain our staff and service level. We'll proceed with cautious optimism, but with responsible management principles. We are pleased to announce that tonight we're making history. This will be the 10th year in office and my 10th year budget presented to taxpayers of New Castle County and my 10th proposal for no property tax increase. I knew I was going to get this response. I'd come more often to visit in this prison. The 2015 fiscal year operating budget will have a modest increase of 2.34% for a total operating budget of $254.6 million. Overall, the operating budget includes a 3.18% increase for the general fund budget and a 0.07% increase for the sewer fund budget. Both county council and the executive branch, we have worked hard to accomplish these outstanding financial figures. All the hours the county council members have spent scrutinizing and debating the budget items guide and assist the execution of this efficient operation. But these accomplishments are directly attributed to the men and women providing the service to our citizens, our employees. This year, we were able to restore some of the salary cutbacks that they had endured during the Great Recession. Let us not forget that it takes people to run the county, and 76% of our operating budget is dedicated to salaries and benefits. So we have developed a great working relationship again with our employees. They understand the bleak financial situation. We have negotiated with our unions, and with their assistance, we held the line on salaries and negotiated, and all the negotiations were done in-house without attorneys. No one else had to pay for it. There are no cost of living increase in the budget, with the understanding that when New Castle County recovers financially, we will share that with them in that recovery. And they're here tonight, and I take my hats off to them. Thank you. We are proud to announce also that both the grievances and workman comp claims are down. And all throughout it all, the Risk Management Office has treated our employees with respect and dignity. A proud workforce is a productive workforce. It says water break in your book, but we're not going to take it right now. That was a mistake. We're going to take it out next year. As always, making sustainable investments in public safety remains one of my top priorities. As a former chief of police, New Castle County, I know firsthand how critical it is to support the dedicated public safety employees who have worked to keep our communities safe day in and day out. Make no mistake, this administration and this council has made it clear an unwavering commitment to public safety. This is the first time in a decade that we will have full authorized strength in our police department. We will have, because of county council, full authorized strength in our paramedics. And we will have full authorized strength in our emergency communications. All of you are here tonight, and I thank you. Despite our pledge to keep public safety fully staffed, we face the same dilemma that often other governments learn the hard way. We simply cannot generate enough tax dollars to adequately police our streets and our communities at a time that would render crime free. The cost of hiring, training, equipment, paying salary, benefits, and pensions are just prohibitive to even remotely considering doubling the size of our police department, which would be required if you do a per capita study. To that end, we are committed to ensuring that our public safety forces have the best cutting-edge technology. Many of you have spent more time than I have out at the TAPS program. We have invested in state-of-the-art predictive analytical software. Using this technology, we can predict and prevent crimes before they occur. This means our police force can be proactive rather than reactive. maximizing the value of our limited resources by focusing on identifying hotspots for criminal activity. By keeping our streets safe is a difficult and demanding job. With this modern technology, we can assist our officers in being more efficient. Let me take a second and digress and explain briefly what this exciting new program based on called Predictive Policing. Predictive Policing has its roots in business analytics. It relies on advanced technological tools and data analysis to take proactive measures to prevent crime. With this new technology, new business processes, the new algorithms, Predictive Policing is based upon information-based patrol, rapid response, supported by fact-based prepositioning of assets, means putting the cars where the crime is, intelligent-based tactics, strategy, and police and policy. This essentially applies the approach to policing. The Predictive Policing allows the command staff, the management of the police department, to leverage advanced analysis in a supportive and meaningful way. It applies decisions to the public safety environment, and the results speak for themselves. We've had great results this year. Overall crime is down 10%. Robberies are down 27%. Burglaries are down 27%. Assaults are down 27%. Gunshots fired are down 18%. Now, I know from being a police chief, you never want to quote stats because you end up getting eaten by them in the next meeting, but I can't go on without mentioning our paramedics and our emergency communications. We all know that Superwoman had a record, Dennis, you've got to calm down a bit, just had a record number of shootings last year, but I'm confident with the leadership of this mayor and his Wilmington Police Department, these numbers will be a thing of the past. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention these unsung heroes, namely the emergency communications and our paramedics, who responded to the 150 shootings last year. And most of the lives were saved because of these unsung heroes. And I take my hat off to you here tonight. I know the mayor has wanting to come out and at some point going to come out and thank you for the work that you do. It has kept the city alive, and hopefully we're not going to need as many responses next year. We're already on the way to that. This is yet another example of how we work hand-in-hand with this fine Wilmington Police Department. We cannot, however, just rely on technology alone to maintain our safe community. Tragically, we are experiencing an alarming national trend. As many of you know, the heroin crisis in our county has reached epidemic proportions. The streets are flooded daily with highly concentrated heroin. Unfortunately, this influx of supply has deflated the price of heroin, and it is now as cheap and accessible as it was in the 1980s. If we do not act now, this issue will continue to consume a whole generation. To me, no price can be put on saving children from this destructive drug, and I'm sure the council feels the same way. This is why tonight my administration is requesting $500,000 in a one-time expenditure to enhance the heroin alert program and to fund a full public service campaign targeted at young people. Looking into the future, we will continue to work with public safety to develop the focus interventions that are going to be needed to counteract this crisis and to request the decisive council support for these much-needed interventions. We who live in New Castle County care very deeply that we have a safe community. But we must remember that our charter from the state established New Castle County primarily as a land use government. In 1967, the State General Assembly enacted laws to ensure that New Castle County government regulated growth. It regulated responsible growth and to protect the natural environment. This county council has had the wisdom, and I thank them for reallocating $300,000 within our 2014 budget to the Department of Land Use to procure a top-notch consultant to help overhaul and reform the department that has been lagging behind the rest of the country for years. To that end, my 2015 fiscal budget calls for an additional $400,000 one time needed to enhance the Unified Development Code land use process. The UDC is now 17 years old and it needs to be revised. Recently, we conducted the first ever time and motion study that revealed that our land use process could take up to 4 to 6 years to complete, and I know many of you council members know that. No project could survive a multiple year process and remain viable after 6 years. Clearly, there are some deficiencies that need to be addressed, and we have set our sights on ending the bifurcated process where developers have to go to the land use process as well as DLDOT in order to move their application along. So in partnership with County Council, we have proposed locating the DLDOT office within New Castle County government to create an efficient and cooperative approach to the regulatory process. And in addition, we can allow for virtual plan submissions along with the ability to conduct virtual meetings with their planners. That scares me a little bit too. What that means is we're going to be using technologies where they don't have to have so many building meetings, but it can all be tracked, it can all be done with a type of Skype. One of the most important barometers of the economy's health is the building and construction trades. Our land use process can support ways to encourage responsible growth that also creates well-paying jobs in the hands of our citizens. Home building and other constructions is the only industry that corporations cannot send overseas. Therefore, it is imperative that our land use planners be able to efficiently evaluate land use applications and quickly respond to assist those participating in this regulatory process. A proactive rather than a reactive planning model is what is necessary to bring livability and vitality in our communities. Our land use department is only as good as the technology has at its disposal. So again, I am requesting $360,000 of another one-time expense to upgrade and enhance our plan submission process. This will allow for the electronic plan review and a virtual one-stop shopping, while saving time and money for both the county and our customers. In tandem with our land use responsibility, our county government provides the essential service to the citizens on all sanitary and stormwater sewers. Not a real sexy job, but it's necessary. Turning our attention to the capital budget of 2015, capital budget includes $19 million for future sewer rehabilitation, as well as $126 million in sewer rehabbing over the next 6 years. Our proactive management and preventative sewer upgrades have protected the county's drinking water and our environment as well. In addition, the ongoing construction of $2.3 million of an 18-inch sewer line in southern New Castle County will save this county $100 million over the next 20 years. This will go a long ways to stabilizing our rates and avoid future increases. I know that's something that you're all striving for. You have a water break. Okay, the 2015 capital budget also includes $12.8 million for the Route 9 Community Library and Innovation Center. Which is anticipated to cost $22.4 million overall. Now hold that for a minute. Now, we don't want to build just a library. We want to build an innovation center. This is an area that's been deprived, should have had a library a long time ago. So what you're going to see here is the most cutting-edge innovative center in the country when this thing is completed. And we're starting at $22 million, and we're going to invite a lot of private sector money to that. We've got council working with us, we've got my administration, and the public. And we want to, if we're going to spend that kind of money, if we have to build a library, but I'm not going to have many books, that is going to attract young men and women into the system in the area of science and coding and all those other things that are going to make them stars. All these kids have smartphones. They're just not going to our schools. This is going to be a great project that's going to be talked about. Our vision is that the library will spark the economic development of this whole Route 9 corridor. In the words of Benjamin Franklin, investment in knowledge pays the best interest. We envision the library being the anchor for not just education, but for economic development, which we have proposed along this corridor. It will be complete with an increased law enforcement presence. As for funding, switching to neighborhood stabilization, which you all started years ago, and it's a fine program, we are pleased to announce that we received a $500,000 grant from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh. We received it this fiscal year to help us in our mission to rebuild the Route 9 corridor into a vibrant community that it once was. Through these smart and targeted investments, the economic development zone will serve as a focal point for the economic revitalization of the entire area, creating new jobs, supporting businesses all along the way. Now, when it comes to economic development as a whole, I am pleased also to announce that there are some other exciting projects on the horizon. We are working with in partnership with the state of Delaware to bring growth back to Delaware. We are pleased to have assisted the Governor Markell in attracting high-growth 500 Fortune companies, including FedEx and J.P. Morgan. And although we did a small part, I have to congratulate the Governor, who I had breakfast with this morning, for these two success stories. He worked very hard, and these are going to be great job opportunities for the state of Delaware. I'm committed to job creation that led us to conduct the first ever economic development plan for Newcastle County. In the coming months, we will work together with our county council, the state of Delaware, the city of Wilmington, to identify our county's competitive strengths and weaknesses. We will strategically target and nurture the growth industries that will drive the economy of the future. We will capitalize upon economic recovery, creating incentives to draw emerging businesses and job-creating entrepreneurs to Newcastle County. We will invest in our economy now, and we will create new opportunities, new jobs, and new partnerships for tomorrow. You can clap.
How am I doing, Reverend?
Thank you. I'm staying in my lane. In addition to being responsible for safe communities, a fair and predictable land use process, we have additional responsibilities creating value in our beautiful parks. George, this is the feel-good stuff. On the highlights within our county government, one of our highlights within county government is our wonderful park system. To ensure our parks provide quality recreation and entertainment for the community, this budget proposes ongoing investments in that precious tax dollars. We're talking about $2 million in renovations at the historical Rockford Park in 2015. And possibly $5.1 million overall in the coming years. And $1.5 million in capital carousel in 2015, and $4.1 million overall in the next 3 years. $4.8 million in capital work at Glasgow Hermitage in 2015, and $8.5 million overall in the next 3 years. Equally important, safety and dependability also requires investment. We must be vigilant in replacing our aging automobile fleet used by our employees to deliver service to our citizens, which had to be held back during the Great Recession of 2007. Doing so will not just improve safety, but will also reduce our annual costs related to vehicle maintenance. So, included in the capital budget are upgrades that are needed for both buildings, parking lots, and park amenities. This includes $2.6 million in fleet upgrades for police cars, paramedics, and construction equipment. $1 million in sewer fleet upgrade for heavy sewer type equipment. And $4.9 million in county buildings and parking lots and renovations. $500,000 in playground and game court equipment improvements. As we note our place in history tonight, we find live in a world quite different from Councilman Biden in 1970 and even my situation in 1997. To the dismay of some and the frustration of others and the sheer delight of a few, we find ourselves living today in the age of information and technology. In today's world, you are only as good as the data that you have. The old adage of knowledge is power rings truer than ever in the context of today's ultra-sophisticated technology. Our vision is clear. We must leverage cutting-edge technology to make government operations more efficient, more productive, and more transparent. Thank you. Again, in public safety, predictive policing is an example of providing your managers with a tool that allows them to be innovative, using analytical tools to maximize the use of their limited resources, to be more efficient and effective. In the private sector, it is called big data analytics. This is an emerging field that takes data from a variety of sources, analyzes that data to create operational efficiencies. In analyzing data, we see the ability to view large volumes of diverse information as an important new tool for reducing costs, improving efficiency, and delivering more effective services to constituents. An example of that, I'm going to bring up, I'll talk about my experience. In 1975, I was given a Plymouth Fury, and it may or may not have had a radio. I don't know if Steve Snyder's here tonight. George Hagley was around then. That was technology in 1975, go out and find the crime. Today's technology, these young men and women who are college educated now have more computer equipment, and it takes years to do this kind of training that they're able to go in and use this kind of equipment inside their police car, the most technically advanced cars in the country. And using that as a tool, it allows them to be their own managers of chasing and solving crime. And I know I had a real experience in how non-factor I am when I was a young police chief at 14 years, and I used to go to every academy every year, and I'd say 14 years ago I was where you were, and I'd give them a lecture, 15, 16, and went up till I became executive, and I said the same speech as I started out. Well, this year I had the opportunity to address a recruit class, and I was ready to give my speech, and I was counting up the years, and I thought to myself, 40 years, I don't think they really care. They hear about me, because I have nothing in common with them. And I lost half my speech, because I couldn't do what I normally do, and I just quietly sat down and said, thank you for being here tonight. So I know I have a hard time finding what's coming up on my smartphone and where it's coming from, and it's dangerous. So I don't consider myself as somebody that can use this technology, but I know it's something that we have to use. And I'm proud that this county council is allowing us an opportunity to explore the benefits of it. But here in the county government, we want to empower our citizens, and to that end, we have unveiled a state-of-the-art website that is more user-friendly and provides incredible GIS mapping software that allows citizens to easily see the maps of current and proposed developments. Activity as well as all the variances issued dating back to the 1950s, if you need to know that. In addition, it's the first time in history that a website has an open checkbook that lists any contracting vendors that we do business with. So I'm tired of getting FOIAs from the journal. They can just go up and get it. Our philosophy on open government is that the public documents should be more readily available to the public, and that people should not have to file a Freedom of Information request to find out what the government's doing. So they'll be able to go right on there and hopefully see every penny we spent, and they're already testing it to make sure it's accurate. Soon we'll be able to use predictive analysis in every department, expand the data portals for the public, oversee countywide data projects, and propose open government legislation to codify the open data platform. As we have outlined, our county government provides many essential services to the citizens of Newcastle County. We have noted The department highlights in land use, public safety, sanitary sewer, parks, and economic development. We believe that a strong art community also contributes to the overall quality of New Castle County. A vibrant art and cultural core also attracts businesses and commerce to us. Last year, we were faced with a crisis, the long history. The Dollar Symphony Orchestra was coming to an end. Along with Mary Dennis Williams in my administration, we assisted negotiating with the Dollar Symphony, and we provided financial aid to the symphony, which also resulted in the continuation of this prestigious institute, which was literally days from going out of business, and it was affecting the Grand Opera House, possibly they lay off half their employees. And after the session, I'll talk to you, Reverend, about the fun day when I picked up Tommy Copeland and drove her to the mayor's office to negotiate the contract. And Dennis will have to admit, that was quite an afternoon. We recognize that economic development entails a variety of facets, least of which not is the arts. And if you hold that right now, and that's an experience I learned from being here before. When you get these large corporations, if you give the corporate welfare, they want to know about the quality of life. They want to know about the Grand Opera House, the parks, and it's equally in the library. It's equally important as everything else in the quality of life. You may not understand that or believe it, but it is a fact. When you're competing globally and nationally with corporations, it's important. Schools also are important. So we're going to do our small part to continue to support other vital services. Talk about our largest city, Wilmington. Monday, March 24th, we began a joint task force with the county, state, and the city. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the future. Not that the city's already turned around with their plan, their prime, but most of the users in the city come from the county. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know we're going to be taking hundreds of cars when they come into our trap, and it's going to stop the demand from the county. We've done it before. We're going to do it again. So at least we can do to help the city of Wilmington. And it's working, and it's going to continue to work. I understand they made a whole lot of arrests last night, tonight, and it's going to continue. It's something that we can do. And I'm sure this county council is very proud of that. Over the coming months, you'll be hearing much more about these successful joint task force. It's taken a while to get it up and going. The task force is doing a whole lot of other things. We had a report this morning in Wilmington Police Department. It's going very well. Crime has many elements. One of them is poverty. Too many people in this country have been left behind in the economic expansion. It is an unfortunate reality. However, too many families across this nation that the American dream is an unfulfilled promise, while corporate profits in the stock markets are at an all-time high. Wages have stagnated and fallen far behind the growth in worker productivity. Income inequality has intensified and has reached a record level unseen since the Great Depression in 1929. That's a serious problem in this country. No people getting rich are the top 1%. We're not losing. We're losing our middle class, and we lost it in Delaware. Hence, we did our part. Like many others, we recognize that in order to compete in this global economy, we must offer fair opportunities and living wages to all of our workers. And to that end, with the support of this council, my administration signed an executive order this month to raise the minimum wage for our county employees to $10.10 an hour. Thank you. President Obama has recognized that 10-10 was the minimum wage would have been paid to the employers if they had kept up with inflation. We have acted, we have sent a clear message that no one with a job should ever have to live in poverty. A famous quote from Thomas Jefferson may just be fitting, and I like quoting these old presidents, the dead presidents, because it gives a sense of content to their speech, and they're all accurate if you want to check the word check them. We're here tonight. I don't want to go back now. Anyway, did I lose my quote?
Nope.
Can't ad lib. You were supposed to stop it when I ad lib back up.
Somebody have a paper copy?
I knew that was going to happen. It's very hard. Thomas Jefferson. Maybe the fitting conclusion of tonight. We're here tonight, elected officials, service providers, and citizens alike, have a vested interest in good government. Mr. Jefferson, too, was devoted to the nation's founded upon principles of good government. He defined that elusive concept succinctly when he said, "A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of laborers the bread that it has earned." He said this is the sum of good government. Let us all be good students of good government tonight in New Castle County. As a guiding principle for all of us as we enter the great budgetary debate of 2015, let us remember the words of another dead president, John Adams. Follow this principle. From this principle, it follows that the form of government which communicates easy, comfort, and security, or in one word, happiness, to the greatest number of people in the greatest degree is the best government. We hope that this communication is necessary with the necessary ingredients to support the goal to be the best local government to our citizens. We also hope that our budget process with council will be a happy one. We know it shall be spirited, because I'm looking forward to the great debates of 2015. But I seriously want to thank each and every one of you for being here tonight and being guests, allowing me to be guests of this chambers. Thank you, Mr. President, members of council, for your time and attention. And now, I'm going to say, may God bless, because I want to get out of my lane and have you tell me to get back in it. May God bless each of you and grant you the patience and wisdom needed to now proceed ahead and improve my budget. Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Ayes have it. We'll take a brief break and come back for our meeting.